Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 181 to finish at 26,562. S&P 500 down 10 at 2,919. NASDAQ Composite up 6 at 7,993. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 7 to finish at 1705. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 3.08%. Oil up $1.49 to finish at $72.27 per barrel. Gold up 10 cents at $11.99.80 per ounce. Both the Dow and S&P 500 posted record highs last week, despite the announcement early last week of a 10% tax on $200 billion in Chinese imports. That took effect today. China retaliated with taxes on $60 billion worth of U.S. goods. Trump has repeatedly promised a quick, clean victory over China in a trade war. But as hostilities between the world's two largest economies turn uglier, the Chinese government is demonstrating that it is prepared for a protracted fight. China had canceled talks with the U.S. on trade as both countries imposed tariffs on billions of dollars worth of their goods. The two sides were set to meet in order to dial back tensions, but China rescinded a proposal to send two delegations to Washington. And there is word the Trump administration is planning to ramp up the rhetoric in coming weeks and will call out China for its malign activity in cyber attacks, election interference, and industrial warfare and intellectual property theft. Stock market has been mostly enjoying an uptrend, shaking off elevated tariff tensions between the U.S. and its global counterparts. However, J.P. Morgan Chase analysts say investors should brace for the possibility of a major miscalculation by Trump's administration as it relates to the U.S.-China conflict. The analysts write that economic and equity market resilience, despite tariffs, will embolden the president on all geopolitical fronts, autos, NAFTA, and particularly Iran, and thus risk a major miscalculation from sanctions that are tough to calibrate. Stocks started today's session in negative territory. Stocks began falling to session lows shortly after trading began on reports that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was about to resign or be fired. The White House later said in a statement, Rosenstein and Trump will meet on Thursday. Axios reported this morning that Rod Rosenstein had verbally resigned to John Kelly. Rosenstein went to the White House expecting to be fired, and the Justice Department had drafted a statement that would announce Rosenstein's departure, written in the voice of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Tomorrow, the Federal Reserve FOMC will begin a two-day policy meeting, which will almost certainly result in an interest rate hike on Wednesday, lifting a key short-term interest rate to a range of 2% to 2.25%, putting it at the highest level in a decade. Many loans for things such as mortgages and autos are tied to the so-called Fed funds rate. The Fed has been steadily raising rates to keep the U.S. from growing so fast that inflation gets out of hand. There's more of a danger of that now, even if just a small one, with the economy expanding at a rapid pace and inflation hitting the highest level in 6 years. At the moment, the unemployment rate is 3.9%. That's below the 4.5% level the Fed believes is the natural rate of unemployment, or where inflation neither slows down nor speeds up. The economic expansion is now in its 36th straight quarter. The big question is whether the Fed can hike rates without pushing the economy into recession. Recession fears remain, at the moment, a small, dark cloud on the horizon. The Fed is expected to keep raising rates at a gradual pace later this week And then what we'll all be watching is the signal of more rate hikes ahead. A committee made up of some members of OPEC and non-member crude-producing nations, known as the Joint OPEC-Non-OPEC Ministerial Monitoring Committee, over the weekend in Algiers, delivered no formal plan to boost output to offset an estimated 2 million barrels a day of oil that will be lost due to U.S. sanctions on Iran's exports. That's set to take effect November 4th. Comcast and the Walt Disney Company have long been rivals. On Saturday, Comcast emerged as the decisive victor in a battle with Disney for control of the British pay television company Sky. In a deal valued at $39 billion, Comcast outbid Fox, bidding on behalf of its soon-to-be owner, Disney. Comcast's offer for the majority stake in Sky puts that total value of the company at $48 billion, including assumed debt, or 15 times expected 2018 earnings. Disney will own 39% of Sky through its 21st Century Fox acquisition. Disney can hold on to those shares or sell them to Comcast. Disney's stake in Sky would be valued at about $15 billion in such a deal, money that could be used to pay down debt associated with the Fox purchase. Comcast needs more than 50% of shares to complete its offer. Hulu could emerge as a major chess piece. Disney is poised to own about 60% of that service after it closes the deal for 21st Century Fox, but Comcast would remain a minority shareholder with 30%. In Sky, Comcast gets one of Europe's largest media companies with nearly 23 million customers across five countries, including Britain, Germany, and Italy. For British viewers used to living in a media universe long dominated by the Murdoch family, the potential Comcast takeover signals a notable shift in ownership. SiriusXM Holdings announced it reached a deal to acquire online streaming service Pandora Media. It's about a $3.5 billion deal in stock. The satellite radio company Sirius, which already owns about 15% of Pandora, said it would maintain both the SiriusXM and Pandora brands and services, but it also appeared to leave open the possibility of a shift, saying there would be no immediate change in listener offerings. SiriusXM has more than 36 million subscribers in North America. Pandora, which provides free and paid music streaming, has more than 70 million monthly listeners. Competitors include streaming service Spotify and Apple Music. Accessories and apparel company Michael Kors said to be closing in on an agreement to purchase Versace. The deal, which could be announced as early as this week, would value the luxury fashion company Versace at around $2 billion. Canada's Barrick Gold is buying rival Rand Gold to create the world's biggest gold miner. The combined entity will have a market value of more than $18 billion. Barrick shareholders will end up owning about 67% of the new company. The new company will control five of the world's top 10 gold mines and have the largest gold reserves amongst senior gold peers. The massive merger comes during a tough year for the gold industry. Gold prices have dropped about 9% so far this year, last month dipping down below $1,200 an ounce for the first time since January 2017. Barrick and Rand Gold are hoping that joining forces and combining their immense resources will help them weather the storm. Time running out for Sears. Eddie Lampert, who controls most of the company's shares through his hedge fund, told the board that it must address significant near-term constraints in its cash position. He cited $134 million in debt payments due October 15th. Lampert has proposed that Sears sell its Kenmore appliance brand, as well as real estate and other assets, to pay down what it owes. In the letter, which was also filed with regulators, he said progress must be made without delay. Lampert didn't use the word bankruptcy, but he raised the possibility that creditors could be wiped out, a process that often takes place in bankruptcy court. Sears Holdings, and that includes Sears and Kmart, has lost almost $12 billion since 2010, its last profitable year. Sales down 60% over that time. Sears debt already has the lowest possible credit rating from S&P, which suggests it could default at, well, almost any time. Time is also running out on Time Warner. Upon completing its acquisition of Time Warner, AT&T announced a new name for the media company, Warner Media. AT&T acted fast after a judge ruled in favor of the acquisition earlier last week, effectively shredding the government's antitrust lawsuit. Weight Watchers really wants to let you know that it's not just a diet company, so it's changing its name to WW. Hope that clears everything up for you. Walmart is changing its name. Walmart, formerly spelled WALMART, will now be spelled WALMART, no hyphen. Walmart announced the change in December, but it became official today when it filed new incorporation papers in Delaware. You probably won't notice much change. The corporate name is different, but Walmart storefronts, advertisements, bags, merchandise, well, they all dropped the hyphen back in 2008. Separately, Walmart, minus the dash, announced its leafy green suppliers will be asked to implement real-time farm-to-store tracking using blockchain technology by next September. Papa John's considering a new logo that turns Papa John's into Papa John's. John's, with an apostrophe, becomes John's without the apostrophe. Company filed the trademark with the Patent and Trademark Office in late August, but a company representative said that there are no immediate plans to start using the new logo. Maybe the idea is to indicate that there are multiple Papa John's and that a singular Papa John is no longer in possession. Dow Industrials down 181 at 26,562. S&P 500 down 10 at 2919. NASDAQ Composite up 6 at 7,993. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.